Thank you in Jesus' name for everyone here in this chapel, everyone that's listening live, all of those in the overflow room. Father, we're so thankful that everyone is gathered together today on this Mother's Day. And Lord, we do. We are so thankful for each and every mom, all that they go through, Lord. Oh, and they go through so much. Thank you for imparting wisdom and strength and direction to them, Lord. And somehow, some way, those teenage girls that were kidnapped by those terrorists there in Nigeria, Lord, somehow let them be found today. Let them be rescued today. And let them miraculously be returned to their mothers on Mother's Day today. Lord, protect them and keep them safe and let no harm come to them. And let the army, the people that kidnapped them, let confusion set into their ranks right now. And let the angels of God stir up something that makes them confused to where even as they did in the Bible, they turned on themselves. And Lord, let these girls go free. And Father, I lift up my dear friend, Pastor Ron Hint there, the Calvary pastor at Calvary Houston. Lord, that you would be with him and his children and with the loss of his wife. And that, Father, on this Mother's Day, that you would comfort every heart there and embrace Pastor Ron's heart, his children, the grandchildren, and even the congregation, Lord. Just be with them in such a mighty way and be with us now. And help me, Lord, on this Mother's Day to just teach your word faithfully and accurately. And may I completely disappear as always, Lord, and let them hear you. Let them hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let them hear the living word of God. And may it transform all of us, Lord, from the pulpit on down. And that we may embrace you and find you and cling to you and follow you all the days of our life. Now, Lord, bless your word this morning that you exalt above the very word. Above your very name, O God, and be with us now. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. God is good. Turn with me this morning to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, we're going to be in chapter 6, and beginning in verse 12, let me read to you Luke's Gospel. And this is my Mother's Day message, by the way. It's a little humor there. I hope you treated your mother right this morning as you're turning. Amen. You called her. You know, my sister is like my mother, okay? She raised me. And from the time I was 14, and you know, she's 83, 84, she's 80-something now. And so, you know what, I always send her something for Mother's Day. So this time, I did something different. I took my first selfie. It is good. And so there in my office, you know, I have a picture of my sister, been in there for years, and it's when she was 5 years old, and she has a little bonnet on, and she's feeding her pet sheep, you know what I mean? And so I know it, isn't that something? And so so what I did, I kind of, you know, there are pictures behind me, and I got it just right, and I took a picture of it, and there's, she's in the picture, and here I am, and I'm smiling, and I sent it to her, and I said, you're the best sister and the best mother that a guy could ever have. I said, after all these years, you're still watching over my shoulder. And I said, I love you dearly. Isn't that good to know? Amen. So if you haven't called your mother or sent her something, you should feel guilty right now. All right. All right. Let's look at our text this morning, beginning in verse 12 in chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel. And now it came to pass. And now it came to pass in those days that he went out unto the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he had also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Now, there's the message for this morning, and listen very carefully. I know that you have read those five verses, in your life over and over, and it's like, Bill, what are you going to get out of that? You know what? The truth of the matter is that all of us this morning that know the Lord and belong to him should absolutely be in awe over those few scriptures. We are actually, as we enter into our text this morning, loved one, we are literally standing on holy ground. I look at that and I said to myself, my goodness, if we were going to choose out of everyone that's here, okay, if we had to choose 12 people, to go out and change the entire world, who would we pick? Who would we select among us this morning? We say, well, how would we do it? I mean, how in the world would we even begin? Where would we even start at? And another thing is, what kind of mindset would you say, okay, I'm going to pick 12 people. They're going to change the whole world. They're going to follow me. They're going to die for me. What kind of qualifications would you want? I mean, think about that. Who from among us right now? I mean, all of us, we love each other. Let's just say we had to do that. I mean, would we go, I don't like you, don't like you, don't like the way you look, you didn't smile at me this morning, you took my parking place, and now you're sitting in my seat? No, I mean, you think about that for a minute. I mean, how would you entrust the greatest message ever given to mankind? Who would you entrust it with? Now, listen to me. There's not but one plan that God has. He doesn't have plan A, plan B. If this doesn't work, I have plan C. God had one plan and one plan only, and it's 12 men. Amen? So on this Mother's Day, let's listen very, very carefully in verse 12. And now it came to pass in those days, meaning what we've been studying for the last several weeks, after the Sabbath day controversies, beginning all the way back in chapter 5, verse 17, ending in chapter 6, verse 11, those five stories, the five events that occurred there on the Sabbath day. So after these events, it says here that Jesus went out to a mountain, and what did he do? He went out to pray, and how long did he pray? Watch this. He continued all night in prayer to God. Now listen, Jesus is about to select 12 men to change the world. Amazing. And what does he do? The Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, he goes and he prays. And in the prayer time between the Father and the Son, there's a revelation that's occurring, okay? And he prays all night because these men are going to be chosen by God, and they're going to be chosen by prayer. That is a very significant thing, amen? And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, the men that we're going to look at, they were the Father's choice, they were Jesus' choice, and listen to me carefully, and you that are sitting there right now, you that are listening, you are God's choice as well. Think about that for a minute. All of us that are here, everyone in this room, all of us, we are chosen by God. Amen? Oh, and just to learn all that. Listen, remember what Jesus said in John 17, verse 6. It was a high priestly prayer where he was praying for his disciples and praying for us as well. He said this. He says to the Father, Jesus says, I've manifested your name to the men to whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. Now listen to what Jesus says, you gave them to me. These men that we're about to study, they're chosen by God. And listen to Mark's gospel, chapter 3, verse 13. It says, and Jesus went up to a mountain and he called to him those he himself wanted to be wanted by the Son of God, to be wanted by Jesus. Oh, is there anything greater than to be wanted by him? No, not at all. And he says he wanted, and they came to him, and listen to what he did. He appointed 12, and the first thing he did was because he wanted them to be with him, meaning he was going to train them. Number two, it says that he might send them out to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons, the power over two uniquely different realms. Now I'm going to ask you a question. We know who the disciples were. We know they were mainly a bunch of fishermen. Amen? Can you imagine? Do you think they were blown away? See, we've read this so many times that we lose the impact of it. I mean, how would we just, if we picked 12 people right here, all of a sudden said, you know what, da 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 da, and you, now we're going to give you power to heal the sick. You go, wow, man, I'm working down at McDonald's, you know. I'm just mashing hamburgers. I make a good hamburger for God, but you know. And he says, oh no, we're going to elevate. You're no longer going to be a fisher. You're not going to longer catch fish out in the Galilee Sea. No, listen. He said, you're going to be having gifts now. I mean, do you think they were blown away? Do you think they were blown away? They went from fisherman to preacher, from a preacher to a healer, from a healer to those who could cast out the demons of the darkness. Oh, and Jesus prayed all night, and look what it says. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself And from them, meaning there were many, many, many disciples, and from them, Jesus chose 12 whom he also named what? Apostles. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Jesus know their frailties? Did he know their weaknesses? Did he know their shortcomings? Did he know their besetting sins, their secret sins? He knew everything about them, and he chose these 12 men, frail men, to change the world. A disciple. He chose from among the disciples. A disciple is a person who is a pupil, a learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. Not half-hearted following. But a disciple is one who, like Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he says, if anyone desires to come at me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. Jesus told us what disciples do. He said in Luke 14:27, he says, whoever does not bear his cross and follow me, come after me, cannot be my disciple. So all of these people that were there, all these disciples were ones that were truly follow. There's Jesus right now. You have just been called. You better hit the road. It's probably your mom calling back saying, that was such a lovely card. So Jesus had prayed all night long. And so here we have these 12 men chosen by God. And what I loved, now listen now, it says that Jesus named them apostles. From a disciple to an apostle. He didn't call them an apostle. He named them apostles. What is an apostle? Remember, an apostle is one who is sent. One who has been given authority. One who represents the King of Kings. Amen? He has a divinely called mission. Now listen, I'm going to ask you a question. These men that are before us, do you think that they ever in their entire life had a title? You know, Peter, what do you do? I'm a fisherman. Simon, what are you? Well, they call me the zealot. I haven't figured that out, what that means yet. Matthew, what are you? Well, they call me the tax collector. It's still hanging on. They just won't get rid of that, you know. Well, those are not titles. That's almost terrible sayings, isn't it? Do you think ever in a million years that these men, these simple men, do you think that they would ever, that God in the flesh would be standing before them and saying, you are now an apostle? Do you think they thought that in their hearts? No, they never beyond their wildest dreams. So here they are, 12 representatives of the King of Kings, and they're chosen by God to act on his behalf. Now listen, an apostle is a divine office that God created. Amen? It says in Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he himself, that's Jesus, by the way, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. 4 incredible gifts. Some people call those 5 gifts, but pastor teacher I consider as 1 gift, okay? So they're gifts to the church. Imagine that. Jesus, a divine office, a divine gift from God. Now, we know that there are more apostles later on in the Bible, in the New Testament. You know, Paul is an apostle. Timothy is an apostle. Barnabas is an apostle. Apollos is an apostle, and so forth. But there's always a requirement. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 19, 21, 22, right through that area, we find the requirement to be an apostle of their caliber. The requirement was, number one, they had to know about, be at the baptism of John. Secondly, they had to have seen the resurrected Lord. They had to seen Jesus. They had to know him. And the reason I say that is because, remember, there in Acts, that's when Matthias was being voted on or cast lots for, who took the place of Judas, who the apostle who betrayed him. So those are the requirements. Now, question, do you think apostles are still with us today? Well, I think there probably are, but they're not receiving any direct revelation to write the Word of God. Amen? Remember, the word apostle means one who is sent. And so there are many of us that are sent out today, okay, by the Lord. But the Bible is closed. No one's writing any more books of the Bible. It's important to remember that. So before us are their names. Now, I look at this and I said, it's amazing. All of these men, number one, they had to be born at the exact right time in history. They had to be born in the exact right place in history. I mean, when you think about this, for out of all the entire world, every people, all the people on earth, Jesus chose 12 men in one of the smallest areas, one of the smallest on earth. You know, just for example, you know how many square miles are in Jerusalem? I wrote it down here. 48.3 square miles in Jerusalem. The nation of Israel from north to south is only 260 miles long. There's only 8,000 square miles in all of Israel. That's about the size of New Jersey. So out of that small area, Jesus chooses 12 of these men. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think even for a moment in all of their lives as they were growing up that they believed that they were going to be chosen by God? Even though they were Jews, they were the chosen people. They knew that. But chosen by God to be with God in the flesh. They had no idea, did they? This is absolutely amazing. Had I been Peter, I would have said, well, you know what? My dad's a fisherman. My brother's a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. I'm probably going to die a fisherman. I'm going to be in this business all the days of my life. Oh, but the things that God had for them because they were chosen by God. Look at verse 14 at their names. And Simon, whom he, meaning Jesus, also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, John, Philip, and Bartholomew. So Jesus, remember, changed the name of Simon. Simon Barjona, you shall be called Peter. In other words, the rock. That was his nickname. I don't know if they called him the rock. You know what I mean. But if we were together today, that's what, hey, rock, how you doing? You know? And so they had all these nicknames, if you will. So now what's amazing, now listen to me. Jesus prayed all night. He had perfect divine, perfect communication with the Father. I mean, you talk about, I mean, if anyone could pray, it would be Jesus. Amen? And he ended up calling a fisherman. I'm sorry, does that bother you just a little bit? No, think about it. See, it goes over our head because we're not in awe about this anymore. We've studied it out so much. No, listen, you called a fisherman. I mean, can you not do any better than a guy that can't even catch fish? I mean, think about Peter. Think about his life. All that we know about Peter is think how impulsive he is. I mean, you could aggravate him in an instant. You know, it's like when Jesus in the upper room in John 13 was washing his feet. What did Jesus say? I mean, Peter say, he said, listen, you'll never. And if you read that in the Greek, it's like emphatic, double negative or whatever that is. And I don't know anything about Greek. Okay. But I know a little bit, but it means no, never, never, never. Did you get it, Jesus? You will never wash my feet. Remember what Jesus said? Okay, fine. Then you have no part with me. No fellowship with me. Oh. Well, you better wash all of me then, Lord. Just go ahead. He was so impulsive and so forth. Think about, like Peter said, I just want to get out of the boat. There they are in the middle of and Jesus is walking on the water. Peter goes, oh, listen, bid me to come out, Lord. And Jesus said, come. He turns around. I know it's not in the Bible, but I know him. He turns around. He goes, see you boys later. Y'all are losers. You know, he steps out of the boat, you know, and he goes, he's walking on that water, you know, and I know the Bible says that, and here's Jesus, and it says the wind and the waves, but really I know he was looking back at the guys too. See, that pride got him, and the wind and the waves said he became afraid. And then all of a sudden he started sinking, and he cried out, oh Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus' hand went out and grabbed him. He pulled him and said, oh Peter, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why are you so unbelieving? I mean, Jesus is walking on water. Do you understand? Do you think he was a little faithless, Peter? Yes. Impulsive and faithless at times and so forth. I mean, let me ask you another question. Would you choose a man knowingly that's going to deny you? This side is just, they're sleeping. Would you? No. You say, no. Matter of fact, take this rooster and get out. You understand? You wouldn't do that at all. You know, you wouldn't do it. No. And listen, would you, how about this? Jesus, this guy that you selected, this first one, you call him the rock. And you know what he's going to do? Jesus, in your greatest hour of need, the only time ever in the Bible when Jesus said, do something for me. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying, the great drops of blood, the sweat pouring from him. And he said, oh, tarry with me 1 hour in prayer. And where do we find Peter? We find Peter what? Oh, sleeping, not praying. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you choose a man like that to change the world? I look and I say, oh, Lord, I don't think so. You know what? Jesus could have looked at Peter and said, now listen, Peter, I want you to follow me. You're going to be an apostle now. And here's the deal. Here's how I'm going to use you one day, Peter, not right now, but one day. There'll be people there in Jerusalem and you're going to be walking by and they're going to be people laying people on beds that are sick and demon possessed. And so, and just when you walk by and your shadow hits them, they're going to be made whole. Jesus didn't tell him that, did they? Jesus didn't say, Peter, listen. You see, Jesus knows who we're going to be. Amen. And he says, you know, Peter, you know, the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts are going to be all about you. They're all about you. Matter of fact, how about there just in Acts chapter 3, one day, Peter, you're going to be, you and John, you're going to be going to the temple and there's going to be a man, a beggar who's asking for alms and you're going to look at him and you're going to say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And that man rose up and walked. Amen. All of those incredible things. Peter, you're going to write 1 Peter. You're going to write 2 Peter. You're going to change the world. If he had told Peter that, Peter would have said, I'm sorry, man. you don't know me, do you? Oh, I know you, Peter. I know everything about you. And he knows everything about each and every one of us. And he chose us. Amen. He wants us. Jesus wants us because he died for us. He loves us. And then not only that, how would you like to be the big brother and your little brother gets called? Andrew's going to be with me. Andrew's going to be beside me, Lord. He's going to be an apostle. He's a fisherman too. He can't even tie a knot. He can't even string a hook. You're going to get this guy. Oh, remember Andrew, his name means manly. His name means mighty one, conqueror. He was actually the first disciple that Jesus called. And what's great about Andrew is that every time you find this man in scripture, he's always bringing someone to Jesus. You remember the lad with the fish and the loaves and so forth, and also the Greek, sir, we would like to see Jesus, and they brought him as well. And then you have he brought his own brother. That's Peter. He brings Peter. That's how Peter got his name. So here they are, these brothers. And then Jesus does something else. He chooses two other brothers. They're fishermen. But here's the problem with them. They have an extraordinary mindset. In other words, they're prone to temper tantrums, okay? They're the sons of Zebedee. Now, Jesus chose two hot-headed brothers, James and John. Think about that for a minute. You know, when you think about that anger, would you call him? He's just an angry guy. He's got a lot of problems there. And matter of fact, Jesus, he gave him nicknames. You know, you think about Jesus, it's so cool. I wonder if he has a nickname for you. You know? Calvary Chapel, the sleeping church. I don't know. Hey, listen, it's good. If I can, at least if there's something happens in my ministry, if I put you to sleep, praise God. Now listen. Jesus gives people nicknames, in other words. Okay, so he calls, remember, what does he call James and John? Sons of Thunder. I mean, how'd you like, well, here comes the sons of thunder, you know what I mean? And in other words, you could translate that, here come the hotheads. Now, would you choose two men? They just had an argumentative spirit. They always had a problem. Remember, whenever they were going into this Samaritan village and they were kind of denied entry, listen to what they said in Luke 9:54. And it says, when his disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder, okay, it says, they saw this. They saw that they were not going to be received very well in this Samaritan village. They said, Jesus, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just like Elijah did? Lord, can we barbecue them? You know, Jesus, you know, listen, Jesus probably said, you know, I know he didn't say this, but that's what I would have said. Boys, we're not terrorists, okay? No. Jesus had to teach them right there. He said, oh, wait a minute. You don't understand. You know, I didn't come into the world to destroy men's lives, but to save them. All lives, all people. See, God has chosen us. God has chosen them as well. You know what's wonderful is that, you know, we start out when God chooses us and here we are, we get saved and so forth. And some of us, you know, we all have problems. Amen. Well, I mean, when you were saved, were you perfect? Okay. Well, you were perfect. Your position with God, you're now in his eyes perfect, but our practice is one of progression, isn't it? You know, I mean, like if you had an anger problem before you came to Christ and the moment that you come to Christ, was your anger problem erased? Okay. Some people, yes. But most people know. So all of a sudden, you know, here you are and you're exploding all over the place. You know, a little explosion there, a little explosion here. But then what happens is gradually you start getting rid of that. Why? Because the King of Kings is working in your life. He's slowly get rid of that anger. It's the same way when we come. Before you came to the Lord, did you have some bad habits? Like some of you, did you smoke cigarettes? Well, no, I'm just, did you smoke cigarettes? Listen, you know, like you had a Marlboro's, and if you're back in my generation, you know, in the 60s or whatever, you had your Zippo lighter from Vietnam, you know. You don't know what a Zippo lighter is? You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get saved, and well, did those cigarettes just disintegrate out of your pocket? Did the lighter just, oh, it's burning in hell someplace? No, it didn't do that. And you didn't go, well, what in the world is that in there for? No. You know what you did? You looked at him and you said, whew, I better light up. And you lit up. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden you go, you know what? This is not good. I'm kind of messing up the temple of God here. And you start growing in knowledge and grace and the Holy Spirit working in your life. And you go, man, I got to get rid of these cigarettes, you know. And so, you know how it was. You know, you're on the way to church, right? And I got to get one or two before I get here. And you're not like that? Oh, I'm going to talk to a side that really, I feel sincere. You know what I mean? And so here's what we did. Remember, we would roll down all the windows, turn the air conditioner off if it was summer. You know what I mean? And make sure that we were smoking, blowing that smoke outside. Cause when we got to church, we didn't want anybody to know that we smoked, you know, and we would get out that 007. What was it called? And we'd spray ourselves and we would walk in like, no, I'm holy, man. And everybody knew that you were smoking cause you could smell that nicotine a mile away. Some of you did that this morning. It's not working. No. Do you understand what I mean? No. And then all of a sudden, God starts working in your life. And the next thing you know, okay, I'm talking about, and you throw that pack out the window. And then you go buy another one. You know how it works. But then slowly one day, you go, you know, Lord, I can't really stop this. And I really want to. And then Jesus says, I've been waiting. Because now you really want to. And I really want to help you. There it is. You're through. Isn't that the way God works? You see, God chose you. He chose me. He chose us all with all of our imperfections, all of our warts, all of our unlovely things. He chose us. He chose these men. He chose James and John, the sons of thunder. And you know what happened to James? Oh, James, he was the first martyr, the first apostle that was martyred in the church. Remember? Herod killed him with the sword, meaning cut off his head. And think about John. I love John, his brother. John, the apostle of love. Don't you just love John? I always do. John's one of my favorites. But he was a hothead in the beginning. And now he ended up the apostle of love. Think about that. He was the one that leaned at the Last Supper there in the upper room on the breast of Jesus, hearing the heartbeat of God asking, said, who is it going to betray you? And Jesus said, the guy who sops the bread with me, or I give the supper, that's the one. Peter put him up to it, remember? What a bunch is that? Peter didn't have enough guts himself. John, he loves you more. Get over there. What a group to be around. You know, and then think about his life. I mean, there at the end, he had no idea that one day on this Mother's Day, this is a great word. He had no idea that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he was dying for the sins of the world, Jesus was going to look at him and say, son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. He spoke that about Mary. Jesus did, his own mother. Take her home, John. I trust you with my own mother. What kind of man did he turn out to be? Oh, why? Because God chose him. When God chooses you, you change. When God chooses you, things happen in your life, incredible things. What happened with John? Well, he was 90 years old. There he was, exiled to the island of Patmos. And one day, as he was there slaving away in the mines there in the island of Patmos, what did he do? It says on the Lord's day, he was caught up in the Spirit. In other words, into the supernatural realm. And what did God show him? The whole book of Revelation. Amen. He showed him the end times. He showed him the end of the world. He showed him heaven. John saw it all. John was the only apostle, had no idea. All of them were gone. They all died. John was the last one living. He was and he died a natural death. And not only that, he was the last living apostle to see God in the flesh. Think about that for a minute. Well, we start thinking about how all the things that God does for us, how he, when he's for us and he changes us, he chooses us, he takes us from glory to glory to glory, from one adventure to the next adventure, all during our lives. And look at the next one here, Philip. Remember, Philip was the guy, Lord, show us the Father. And he said, Jesus said to him, oh, have I been with you so long, Philip, you have not seen the Father? He said, those who have seen me have seen the Father. He goes on, he goes to Bartholomew. Now, Bartholomew is actually Nathaniel of John chapter 1, someplace in there, verse 46 or whatever. You know, it's amazing when you think about these guys. I mean, some of them had other, like you go to Mark's gospel, I think it has, they have one that's called Thaddeus. And that's a nickname. That's not it wasn't his real name. Do you know, if I'm not mistaken, in the Greek, you know what Thaddeus means? You ready for this? Mama's boy. Mother's Day and Mama's boy, huh? You get a Mother's Day message right now. You know, I mean, how would you like to have a 12 guy? Well, I got a mama's boy. I got a hothead. You know, I've got a fisher. I mean, think about what Jesus was putting together here. And he says, and then I have Matthew and Thomas and so forth. Oh, Matthew, that was Levi. Listen, would you pray all night and I'm going to choose a tax collector? A man that was, that is considered a traitor to a Jewish, he's a traitor to his own nation, Israel. Who charges all these extra taxes so he can rip people off and get rich. I'm gonna choose the most hated man in all of Israel. And I can tell you what, I guarantee you when he got into the group, they were going talking among themselves, Peter and all the rest of them going, an apostle's going to be a tax collector. Think about that. No, listen, they were like us, weren't they? Oh yeah, they were opinionated. Don't tell me you're not opinionated. You have your own opinion. No, listen, Jesus, he chose Matthew and then Thomas. Now, we call Thomas doubting Thomas today. I don't like that phrase. And the reason I say that, Thomas would have died for him. He would have died for him. Matter of fact, Thomas said, let us go with him and die with him in Jerusalem. Let us go back. So Thomas wasn't afraid to die. But what Thomas was upset about is this. At the end of, you know, Jesus there, when Jesus died, Thomas just left the group. He blew them all off. He said, in matter of fact, let me just put it in my own terms. He was saying, you guys are nuts. Here we are. We've given up everything, absolutely everything. I've given up everything for 3 years. And look at us. I saw him die. I saw him buried. And you're telling me there, because the disciples were in hiding and he went, and you're telling me 8 days later when he shows up, you're telling me that Jesus is still alive. I don't believe you. I don't believe it at all. I'm leaving. And remember what Thomas said? He said this. He said in John 20:25, unless I see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Listen, would you choose a man like that? Jesus did. What did happen in that upper room there where they were all in high? All of a sudden, Jesus walks to the wall. Peace, boys. They're all looking at him. They were frightened, remember? And he goes immediately to Thomas and says, Thomas, be not faithless, but believing. He said, look at my hands. Put your finger in my side. Let's get this thing over with. Blessed is he who has not seen and yet believed. Amen. Listen, Jesus is calling these groups together, these people that are going to change the world and one day die for him. And look at the next one. Oh, I'm not, because I don't have all the information on all of them because we're not real sure. So I'm just talking about the ones I know about. How about Simon the Zealot? Oh my goodness. You know what? Jesus prayed all night and he chose a political revolutionary. Think about that. Would you choose well, that might not be a bad idea, I guess. But think about it. Listen, a zealot, they were haters of Rome. They hated Rome. They wanted to see, they were a radical group determined to overthrow Rome. Matter of fact, if you studied out, if you go and just study out what the zealots actually, what they did, they would wear these cloaks, you know, and so forth, and they would hide daggers, these small daggers in them. And whenever a Roman soldier, if they caught him off guard, maybe sleeping on the job, whatever, they'd just go, you know, oh yeah, murder them, kill them, didn't have a problem with it at all. Now listen. Think about this for a moment. Here's the group. You see them all lined up here. They're all getting ready to be, they're named apostles. And Jesus is calling them to himself and so forth. Now, here, Matthew just got called. Matthew, Levi, remember, he's a tax collector, the most hated person in Rome, and considered a traitor. May I tell you something? And this is true. Simon, the zealot, he would have had absolutely not any problem killing him. Do you understand? Because he, as far as he was concerned, he worked for Rome and he was a traitor and he wasn't even considered a Jew. Remember, a tax collector couldn't even, according to Jews, they couldn't even go to the synagogue, heaven would never be their home. So think about this group that Jesus is calling together and look at this one right here. And it says, and Judas, the son of James, but let's go to the last one, verse 16. Judas Iscariot, who also became a what? A traitor. The last one called Judas Iscariot. Jesus chose a thief. Isn't that amazing? John 12:26, it says not about Judas that he cared for the poor, but because Judas was a thief. He was a thief. Not only was Judas a thief, he was a betrayer. Listen to John 6:64. But there are some, Jesus said, who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. That tells us that Judas Iscariot was never a believer. Never a believer in Christ. And also Jesus called him and says, and I also chose someone else, a devil. About Judas. It says in John 6:70, Jesus answered and said, did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is a devil. Think about that. Listen to this. Judas is not only the traitor, but he sold out the Lord, as we already know, for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed Jesus there at Mount of Olives, there in the garden, with a kiss and so forth. He led the Roman soldiers up, or the Jewish people as well, to apprehend him, to take him bound to Caiaphas. And not only that, we look at this here, and we think to ourselves, you know, every time we find him in Scripture, we find him listed as the one who betrayed the Lord, and we always find him listed last among the apostles. Matter of fact, after Acts chapter 1, we don't find his name ever again. And what's so terrible is what Jesus said about a man that he chose, a man that could have received forgiveness, a man that could have walked on with the Lord forever and ever, but instead he betrayed him. Listen to what Jesus said about this man. In Matthew 26:24, the Son of Man indeed goes, just as it's written of him, but woe to that man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Think of that. Jesus, God just said it'd been better if you never been born. Why? Because he denied the Lord. He walked out on Jesus. He did not ask. He never was born again. Think about that. He missed the greatest opportunity ever given to a man. Amen? I mean, he knew Jesus was a healer. Matter of fact, he was an apostle. He was sent out to heal as well. He knew the power of God. Oh, that's, you know, people today, there's so many times that people, you know, you can know the power of God, but never the person of God. Amen? And how we need to have the person of God, Jesus Christ, living in our hearts. Now, these are the men that God chose. I'm going to ask you a question. And be honest with yourself. Would you really choose them? No. No. Now listen. See, we have this ideal in our mind that these guys were like super, super incredible. No, let's bring it up to today. Let's just look at it today. It would be like, okay, I'm choosing you. And so the guy comes forth and he's got, you know, those big earrings in, his hair's three different colors. You know what I mean? He's got tattoos, says, Mom, I love Mom, I love Dad. And come on. Yeah, that's who Jesus said, I want you. It would be the young woman or whatever that comes in. She's got the, you know, a thing through her nose or whatever. I'm not making fun of anybody. Listen, I'm just telling you what today would he would choose. He'd choose a guy. Where'd you get off work at? I just got off at Burger King. You know, Burger King. Whatever Burger King is. You understand? Have it your way. I don't even know what it is. You know, I've been mashing. You know, come, I want you. You see, we've got this false idea of the men that Jesus chose. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Did Jesus choose any of them out of the religious world? Scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, rabbis. Did they have any social status? No, they had nothing. They weren't anything. Were they scholars? No. They were ordinary men just like we are today. And if we don't see that, we're going to miss it. Because, see, we think we have to have some kind of qualification. We have to think, you know, how could God use me? Oh, listen, God can use a jackass. I mean, remember Balaam's ass? Remember the talking donkey? Well, no, I'm just saying, I mean, if he can use a jackass, he could use any of us. That's all I'm trying to say. And I look here and I'm going, Lord. You know, I'm going, God is so good. He's so incredible. And, you know, we keep, well, I've got, you know, I have a list. Okay, well, you know what? I still have a little bit of a list, if you don't know that or not. But I had a terrible list when I was growing up. They put me in speech therapy, so I learned to pronounce my S's correctly. Instead of saying Sam, I'd say Am. Okay. I was terrified to get up and speak in front of people. Terrified. I remember when I was in high school, and man, listen, you put me on a football field, you're dead. You put me in front of a classroom, you know, a speech class. Billy, get up and tell him, just talk 10 minutes on this pencil. You know, I mean, I'd start sweating. I'd be terrified to get up. God can do anything. God can take anyone if you'll just say, come into my heart. Because God's chosen us, and who God chooses, he does something with. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Turn quickly. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians in your Bible, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look with me. Look with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 26. Hold your place in that other, where you were at. Now watch this. Paul writing, he says, for you, 1 Corinthians 1:26, Paul says, for you see your calling, brethren. Okay, we've been called by the Lord. He says that not many wise according to the flesh. Well, listen, I can assure you that God didn't call me because I had any wisdom, okay? As a matter of fact, I didn't have anything going for me when he called me, and neither did you. Amen? No matter how rich you were or whatever, you didn't have anything going because you didn't have Jesus. Now listen, so God says, I don't need man's wisdom. I don't care how smart you are. No, listen, I'll take a person over here that says, you know what? What do you do for, I work on cars. I love work. Okay, you know what? I want to make you somebody. You can work on cars, but I'm going to make you somebody in your life. Do you understand? It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. When you come to God because he's chosen you, things change in your life. And he says, oh, you're calling not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty. I don't need a bunch of strong, strong men. He says, and not even many noble are called, those of high birth, you know, like the Kennedys or so forth. That doesn't mean God doesn't save them or God doesn't want them. He's just talking about who he wants to call. Listen, I promise you, the White House or the British Parliament, would they call those 12 men we're talking about? No, they might call them and say, hey, would you give us a free junket for the Senate so I can go on a fishing trip or maybe something like that. But that's it. And look what it says in verse 27. But God has chosen, now look at this, the foolish things of the world. Why? To put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, meaning people, those that are considered to be absolutely nothing in the eyes of other people. God says, oh, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring nothing, the things that are, why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, it's going to be all God and not us. See, we don't have anything. God says, you know, when God calls you, he goes, oh, I need you. I need you. It's like, you know, today, and I'm not beating anybody up that does this, but you know, you get a movie star or an athlete, they're one day old in the Lord, and they're on every TV program in the world. They haven't even stopped smoking yet. Do you understand? Give me a break. I'm not beating them up, but you understand? Come on. No, listen, God says, I don't need a bunch of stars. I can use anyone. I don't do what the world does. I don't need the world's methods. No. See, God chooses the most unlikely people and then he does great things through them. See, these 12 guys and all of us, we didn't make some kind of good impression on Jesus. Oh, I gotta have him. No, no, no. No, they all had faults. They all had character flaw, just like us. I know a pastor. Well, he's no longer pastoring now. He was the president of a college, and now he's retired. Incredible man of God. And when he was a young man, he was at a church in Florida, and he was preaching. It was in between services, and he has a planter's wart on his foot that's just, you know, went crazy. He's in horrible, horrible pain. So he gets on the front row, and he's trying to just rest. He props his foot up. And so in between the services, the cleaning people would come in and they would clean, making everything ready for the next service. Great, huge church. And so the cleaning lady's son, he has a cowboy hat on, you know, and he's got all this outfit on. He's got six guns and he's going bang, 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 bang. And he runs up and says, what are you doing lying there on the pews? And he goes, I'm praying that God will kill me, you know, because he's in such pain. And so the guy says, well, what's wrong? And he said, I've got this planter's wart. So he puts his six guns in his holster, you know, takes off his Roy Rogers, you know, cowboy hat. And he goes, oh, Jesus, heal his planter's wart. And God heals him instantly. True story. Heals it. Now listen to me. Just a minute. The person who prayed for him wasn't a little 8-year-old boy, but a little 30-year-old boy who was the cleaning lady's son that she had to bring with him because he was mentally impaired, but he knew the Lord. Amen. Listen to me. God can use anyone when you're chosen by God. There is no limitation at all. Amen. See, God takes nobodies, and you know what he does? He makes them a somebody in this world. He takes a tax collector, the most hated person. No, no, no. I'm going to change your life. He takes a prostitute and, you know, and says, no, no, I'm going to change your life. He takes a woman that was demon possessed, had seven demons in her, Mary Magdalene, and heals her. He takes adulterers and drunks and drug addicts and he changes their lives, and he takes fishermen and changes them into fishers of men. He takes a woman who was hanging out at a well, who had been married 5 times and was living with an old boy at the same time. And he says, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. She said, you've answered rightly, but you've had 5. And the one you're hanging out with right now is not your husband. She said, I think you must be a prophet. She goes and tells the men, this woman who is an outcast, she goes and tells the men of the village, she said, come see. I love this part in John chapter 4. Said, come see a man. Men is what used her all of her life, abused her all of her life. 5 marriages failed, living with someone. Came to the well at noon, not in the early morning hours when all the women gathered to socialize. No, she came at noon when no one was there, the hottest part of the day. So, because she was an outcast. But Jesus said, I've got to go to Samaria. I must needs go to Samaria. And he was waiting at Jacob's well for her. Amen. Listen, God said, I'm choosing. God says, that's what God was doing. Oh, I want you. I want you and all your crummy past and all of the hate and all the harm and all the hell that you've gone through. I want you. I'm choosing you. I want to change your life. That's what God does. That's what it means to be chosen by God. When God gets a hold of you, he changes our lives. And I look and I say, oh God, you take all these people, you do everything and you change them and then you fill them with power and they go out and they change the world. Listen, God doesn't need our talent. He doesn't need our wisdom. He doesn't, and we're not, God's not limited by our inability. Do you understand? All of us could walk on water if Jesus said, come. Every one of us could be a water walker if Jesus so desired it. Listen, these 12, did they volunteer? No, they didn't. They were chosen by God. Jesus knew all of their faults. He knew everything that was wrong. He knows all of our faults, everything that's wrong with us. He knows everything right now. And he loves us and he chose us. When did God choose you? You know when God chose you? Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundations of the earth. Listen, you say, well, you know, I'm not a Christian. God chose you. He wants you. Well, I've never been to church in my life. You're listening live right now. God wants you. He wants you. He chose you. You can get off that bar stool. You don't need to be there. Come on. He wants you. He wants you right now. You see, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of this earth. Amen. Now listen, that means when there was only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That means before anything in creation, before the earth, before the blue sky, before the heavens, before the stars, before the sun, before the moon, before the angels, before anything. Our name, as you've heard me say many times in the past, our name is eternal with God. Amen? How long has God been? Our name has been with him all that time. He has no beginning, no ending. Go back a million, trillion, zillion. I don't know. Our name was right there. All the way back there, God says, I chose you. I knew everything about you before you did anything good, before you did anything bad. I chose you. I wanted you. Listen, I don't know how that makes you feel, but that blesses me. That blesses me because God says, Bill, your name is eternal as I am. Really? Yes, Lord. Oh, but you mean I've been in your heart all that time? Yes. God chose you. God wants you. That's why he picked these simple men. How did he do it? You know, it wasn't their idea. No, the Bible says in Mark 1:16, listen to what it says. It says, and Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon, Andrew, his brother. They were throwing a net into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said, follow me. That's it. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Luke 5:25, the calling of Levi, the publican. Matthew, it says, in these things he went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. Jesus said to him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Where did Jesus find you? Where did Jesus find you at? Oh, I know that we were chosen all the way back then. But, where did he find us? What were you doing the day that you were chosen by God? I'm going to ask you a question. Did he consult you about it? Did he say, I have to tell you, let's have a meeting because I chose you all the way back in eternity. I chose you. No. I mean, did you say to yourself, you know what? I think I'm going to go and buy myself a big King James Bible. And I'm gonna find a church. I'm gonna become a follower. I'm gonna become a disciple. I'm gonna find a church. Is that how it happened? No. We didn't want anything to do with God. We didn't even know who God was. Listen, this is the year of fruitfulness. And you know, remember our scripture? Listen to what Jesus said. He said in John 15:16, Jesus said to them, he says to you and me as well, you did not choose me. I chose you. No, you didn't. You didn't, Jesus, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear much fruit. Amen. See, listen, we didn't choose him. You say, oh, yes, I did. I chose him. No. We were chosen by God just like they were. But here's the deal. The only difference is this. They got up and left all and followed him, right? That means they responded to his choosing. And that's what we have to do. See, a lot of people say, well, God hasn't called me. Yes, he has. God hasn't chosen me. Yes, he has. And I don't know that. I can't imagine. He said, well, listen, the reason is because you've never responded to his choosing you. So you have to say, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, I'm willing to follow you. I want to follow you. You mean you really chose me? Yes, I want you. Come now, follow me. Follow me forever. Make me the Lord of your life. Come into my heart. See, that's what it's all about. It's a tragic thing to miss the plan of God, isn't it? To miss the opportunity. I mean, God says, I want you, I want everyone. Oh, no, Bill, I don't believe that. You know, God hasn't chosen me. Really? Well, listen to this scripture. 1 Timothy 2:3, it says, for this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be, what? Saved. Not, did it say few men? Did it say only the elect? No, it says all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, that means if God wants all men to be saved, that means women too, okay? Listen, that means that God has chosen you. Do you understand? God says, I've chosen everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever, no matter who it is, would just believe in him. You know, that they would have everlasting life and not perish. You know, listen, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 45:22, God says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there's no other. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, that God is long-suffering toward us, he's not willing that any should perish. Why? He's chosen you. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Matthew 25:41, hell was made for whom? The devil and his angels. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He says, no, listen. He says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that every person on earth, all should come to repentance. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, the 12 that Jesus chose, they give me such great hope. Just 12 simple, ordinary people. They didn't have anything going for them. Just like I didn't have anything going for me. And some of you are the same way. Listen to me. I mean, think about hanging out with those guys. Remember in Luke's gospel, I think it's chapter 9, Jesus said, he was telling them to the 12, he said, listen, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. They're going to crucify me and I'm going to die. And then on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. And the next verse in Luke 9, wherever it is in that area, the next verse is, you know what the 12 are doing? They're arguing, they're disputing among themselves about who's going to be the greatest. How would you like to be around that bunch? I mean, they're saying, no, I'm going to be the greatest. No, Simon the Zealot said, I'm going to be the greatest. I'm going to wipe all of you out. You're dead. Do you want to listen to that? What a motley crew. I mean, it gives me hope. I say, oh God. I mean, oh, think about that. And then the moment though you realize that God chose you and he wants you with all of our flaws, with all of our sins, with all of our besetting sins, with all of our secret sins, when he knows everything about us, I still want you because I am the only one that can change you. No one else can change your heart. No one else can transform your life but Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. No one else. And you know what's so wonderful? And then you start going along and walking with the Lord and you say, I can't believe I used to do that. I feel so terrible I used to do that. Oh, but I'm so thankful I'm cleansed and I don't do that anymore. Amen. Because of that transformation that's going on. And then one day we end up just like the disciples. Listen very carefully. Acts 4:13. It says, and now when they, meaning the religious leaders, because they'd commanded Peter and John and them not to preach about Jesus. Listen carefully. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated. That word means unschooled. It means illiterate. That they were uneducated and untrained. That means they were not rabbis or any of those things. They were just ordinary men. It says that the religious leaders of that day, they marveled. And then it says, and they realized something. They realized that they had been with Jesus. Listen, that's what changes a person, is to be with Jesus, to follow him, to worship him, to love him, to obey him. Loved one, listen, Jesus' plan has not changed. It's still the same plan. The only plan that Jesus has for reaching the world is us. Ordinary men and women. Do you understand? Just not even our strength, but His strength. We have the same life-changing gospel that He gave to the 12. And you know what's so wonderful? When you're chosen by God, you're empowered by God. And when you're empowered by God, then you're equipped by God. And when you're equipped by God, then you're authorized by God to go and tell people that Jesus died for them, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is coming again. Amen? That's what it's all about. And this is what's so wonderful. He uses unqualified people. Now listen, you may say, well, I have my PhD in biblical studies or whatever, or a doctorate in theology. Well, praise the Lord, you should. Go get it. That doesn't qualify you. Do you understand? The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. Thank you. Builds up. No, it's not having letters behind your name. Oh, it's good to have that. I applaud people who do that. I'm very pro-education. But nothing can take place of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can take place of the upper room. Nothing can take place of walking in the power of the Spirit. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Now listen, I'm closing with Max Lucado. He said this, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. It says, but since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent a Savior to save us from our sins. Amen. Oh, loved one, listen, God has chosen you. And you say, oh, I'm not saved. I don't think God's chosen me. He's chosen you. And here's what He wants. He's chosen you for what? To forgive you, to cleanse you, to wash away your past, to wash away your sin. So you'll be acceptable to His Father, acceptable to our Father. So that heaven will be your home, that your name will be now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, chosen by God. And you know what? If you don't know Him, if you don't receive Him, it's kind of like a Judas. You say, I don't need Him. I'll betray Him. I don't want anything to do with Him. Don't miss your opportunity if you don't know the Lord. He wants you. With all of your problems right now, whether they be problems in marriage, problems, Bill, I'm addicted to pornography, I'm doing this. Listen, He wants you right now. Bill, I'm in a same-sex relationship. Jesus wants you right now. He wants to change your life right now. Well, Bill, how does that happen? You pray this prayer with me if you don't know Christ. You that are listening live, pray this prayer. You know, listen to me. You know what happened last Sunday? You saw many people come to Christ in the second service. Amen. And then that night at 7:30, I get an email that was sent to me. And I was sitting in my little lazy boy, and I read that email, and I just started weeping. I read it to my wife, and she started weeping because it said, hello, I just want you to know that this morning on your service, I was listening live, and me and my wife and my oldest daughter asked Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and be our Lord. Would you send me that book that you said, welcome to the family of God. And amen, I sent it to him. What I'm saying is that if you don't know the Lord, God will save you right now. Right this minute. There in the overflow room, here in the chapel. If you don't know Christ, He's chosen you. Will you choose Him? Pray this prayer with me right now. If you don't know Him, and He'll save you. Church, help me. Say, Father, today I found out that You chose me, that You want me, that You want to save me, that You died for my sins. I want to be saved. So I choose Jesus. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed on this Mother's Day weekend, this Mother's Day Sunday, as every Christian is here praying. if you prayed that prayer, you meant it with all of your heart. Would you take one more step of faith, please? Don't get out of your chair. Don't come down here. All you have to do is just simply lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, I prayed. God bless you, sir. Anyone else say, I prayed that prayer. Lift it. Yes, I see you there. God bless you. Anyone say, Bill, I prayed that. God bless you, sister. I prayed that prayer today. I asked Christ to come into my heart. Last call. Anyone else? God bless you back there. That's right. Father, there's no one like you. You chose them and now they chose you. They gave a response. Oh Lord, fill them and saturate them with your Holy Spirit, oh God. Put a hedge of protection around them now in these fresh new days that they have. And Lord God, we love you. We praise you on this Mother's Day. And we're so thankful that you chose us. So thankful that you've saved us. And so thankful that you're coming for us again. We love you this morning in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Stand to our feet this morning. You that lifted your hands, listen, we're going to sing a song.